Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Ken. How are you doing?
Yeah. So how's that grandbaby?
She is moving her sort of down. That's good.
What now?
She was losing weight and said she wasn't getting enough to eat. And now she's getting plenty to eat, and she's gaining weight. So she's doing well.
Great. How's Whitney doing?
She's doing better, too. She wants to come over here and visit.
Well, that's good. Good sign.
Yep.
Well, I can hardly wait to see her and that baby.
Well, come on over.
Yeah.
Good morning. This is Donna.
Oh,
good morning, Donna. How are you all this morning?
Fine, thank you. If you guys would like, I have a couple of vocabularies. Try to keep up with my vocabulary here.
Oh, okay.
Some left over from the 12 toxins. Reminder of what they are and what they do.
Okay.
Trying to get some of these things that we learn and revisit them.
Very good. Well, you know, I have really concluded, Ruth, that repetition is the only way that we really get things planted in our brain.
Not
I know
really
that.
Sure is.
What was that?
Not very often. We learn it the first time around and just have it planted.
No. It's just, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I've sat down and read some scriptures and reading them for years, and then all of a sudden I read it and I think, oh, that's what it's trying to tell me. Anyway.
Was that here before?
What was that?
Was that here before?
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But when did they have that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get started. It's 7:02. And so good morning to everyone who is already on the call. I am going to just hit these chimes. It's hard for anybody to talk. When chimes are going off in your ear.
Thank you. I hate them for recordings also.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope that you get on the website. It is a terrific Tuesday, and Karen and Donna are going to take over in a minute, but I am going to go, and they will do just a brief review of the basics, but I'm going to do the educational. I guess, with you guys, which way do you, when do you want me to do your vocabulary?
Right now it's just great. Go ahead.
Okay. We are going to revisit some of the things that we learned on these vocabularies. I haven't given up on it. I just sort of run out of time sometimes. And I love learning it and remembering it. And so the toxic first three are dioxin. I think everybody knows how to say that. But then I did need to check on the second one here that we have, which is triclosan. And then, this other one is spelled T-H-T-H. Look at that. Four consonants in a row. How can you possibly pronounce that? A-L-A-T-E-S. Well, so they really don't. Oops, I didn't cover the wrong one. I don't think I can move that. Okay, I didn't fix it to move. So the P-H is completely silent, and you just say thylates. T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. And the P-H is completely silent, so it's phthalates. And then, what are those things and why are they toxic? Okay, these are our toxic 12 and they're in our skincare products. Not in our skincare products, excuse me. We have skincare products that don't have these things in. Okay, these are an ester or a phthalic acid, and they are commonly used as plasticizers in PVC pipes. And when ingested, or either by your body or through your mouth, it can cause kidney and liver damage. So they're not healthy. And that's the only three that we're going to cover today. So just the fact that you remember dioxin, triclosan, and phthalates, then you can remember that those are ingredients you don't want to see on the list of anything you buy. That's all I would like to say. I'm going to turn the time now over to Karen Eastwood, Super Karen, and Super Donna.
Ruth, can I say something real quick? Triclosan breaks down to dioxin also.
Triclosan do what?
It breaks down and makes dioxin.
Okay. Thank you, Donna.
Welcome.
She's really got these in her mind. She's been really researching them. Thank you.
Donna is our great detailed person, and I love it. We want to welcome all of you to terrific Transparent Tuesday, because this is the day that we report on our progress. And just like Mary Lou said yesterday, some of us may only be getting 4, 5, 6 points on this chart that we have. But, you know, as long as you come on these calls, at least I know this is true for me, that as long as I come on here and I have reaffirmed with me the things that are really important, you're making progress. Keep doing that. I can tell you from experience that I have not made great progress as far as my weight loss is concerned these past few weeks, but because I've been on these calls and I've listened to what different ones have explained about how to be healthy, I have had reaffirm how valuable coconut oil. My goodness. I need more of that. coconut oil. And in the process of experimenting with coconut oil, I am beginning to see some resolutions of some problems. And I'm not going to tell you that it is the whole answer and that everything is solved. It isn't. But what I am saying is that if you're on these calls and you hear all of these different things, like what we were just hearing about, the things that Ruth was explaining, you know, as we listen to these things, we will pick up for our own personal self things that will help us in our quest for being healthy. So now, in our report this morning, I would like for each one of you, if you can or if you want to not only tell us what your report is, but maybe you might tell us what is the one thing that has really probably helped you more to stay in line with what you're trying to achieve with your body. And I want to tell you that for me, it's being on the calls. These calls are so valuable to help me to keep my mind focused on what I really want to accomplish. So I'd like to hear from the rest of you and see how you're doing.
Well, if no one's going to talk, I'll talk. This is Donna. And I have to say, I don't believe this, but I lost 2.8 pounds last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're always showing us all up. That's great.
Well, not trying to. I just have a lot of weight to lose.
Well, we're happy for you. Is there anyone else that would like to report on their progress? And, you know, if you don't think your progress is fantastic, that's okay. Tell us the little things that have helped you along the way.
This is Doug, Karen, and Donna, everybody. I confess I haven't really started using the chart because I follow the guidelines. I think I'm doing quite, since we got the waterfall, I'm doing a lot better on water than I've ever done in my whole life. But I drink, I mix it sometimes with chocolate, 100% chocolate, and stevia. So I got rid of coffee that way. I think that might be progress. And I do pretty good on meals. I haven't been journaling yet, but I've changed my diet so tremendously, and over the last couple of years, and I've learned new things, especially about coconut oil, which I'd already started using for cooking. But now I'm trying to, I haven't actually listened to the videos on swishing yet, but somewhat I started on it. But I'm doing some swishing, and I might be doing it the wrong way, but there's things that I've added, and I guess I agree with Karen, the most valuable thing to me is just being on the calls every day and being affirmed that I'm doing a lot of right things, and because my wife doesn't necessarily follow along with it. She thinks I'm kind of radical sometimes, and things I reject and things I'm eating, things I mix together, and so forth. So she's also kind of coming along, too, and I hope I can get her using the chart someday. And
Doug, you know, you're in good company when you have people, your partner thinks you're being a bit radical. I know that feeling. Go ahead.
So I'll just kind of affirm what Karen has said. I just continue to learn and continue to be encouraged. And I don't really have any goal for losing weight. I'm trying to add a little bit of muscle. So I exercise along those lines a little bit. But I was also trying to build the business and involved with a lot of things. So I don't have a huge amount of time. I probably spend more time in the kitchen than I should, actually. But we're making progress, and I'm real happy that this call exists. It's really a tremendous thing.
You know, Doug, you said you're making progress. And is that not what this is all about? You may not be a perfect 10. I sure know I'm not. But let me tell you, if you're making progress, you're going in the right direction. Congratulations.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that would like to report?
If you guys are rubbing your sandpaper over your phone or whatever you're doing there, because Star's sick, so you won't be causing noise for our call. Thank you. Sandpapering your phone's not a good idea during the call. So this is Ruth, and I would like to tell you about some progress I've made. Some of it came before the call and led up to the call. When I was not gluten-free, I really was struggling with my mind. I just realized that I could not remember, you know, if I read a book, I didn't remember it. If I could read or watch a movie or something and never know what it was the next day or even remember that I lost it, I think I was really losing my brain. And going gluten-free, I want to tell you, really has helped. And I stop and think about how it was before, and sometimes I think, hey, I remembered all that. I can remember this and remember that, and my memory was getting so bad. That there are just things that, you know, I just say now. Demons will say, well, do you remember when we did this or that? And I say, no, that was during that period of time when I couldn't remember anything. And it's nice to know that we'd be able to change our diet and control what is happening to us. And just adding the coconut oil and all the Nican things, we all say often to each other, where would we ever be now without Nican? And I woke up this morning thinking that I want to create a storybook. We want to help each of our legs of our business create a storybook, and we get our people in there that have had so many differences and have them create storybooks with their friends and relatives too. And so you have a picture and what has helped them in their life with Nican and how it has changed them, and just have an online storybook that we can have people go through. We have a lot of these testimonies, but just really make it into a storybook, because we have had such incredible changes in so many lives with Nican. And the biggest one with mine is with my mind, with my brain, and definitely we all want to protect our brain. And so that's been just really amazing when I look back at it and think about it. So that's my biggest change. Right now, I'm seeing changes with with eating fewer carbohydrates, eating apples, eating the fruits and vegetables, and really very, very few grains. And that is making the difference in losing the weight where I wanted to lose it right off my tummy. I feel like that I am losing more of the inflammation that causes that. So that's
the end
of my story.
That's interesting that you said that you have limited your grains, because over and over in all my reading, grains are the number one thing that you've got to bring it down if you think you're going to bring your weight under control. So that was a good point. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to report? Okay. We're going to talk this morning about something that Ruth has alluded to, all of us at different times. We're going to talk about, in Western societies, food sensitivity and allergies, allergic reactions to food, they're increasing. The rates have doubled in the past 20 years. Something is going on because the rates have doubled and the reactions have seemed to have gotten worse. And so I think this is what this call has really concentrated on. In the article it said, let's define some of the terms, which I think are really difficult to get around. But anyway, it says that patients, if they think they're not using a precise medical term, that the medical professional will believe the patient doesn't know what they're talking about, and they'll dismiss the patient's condition. And they'll say, oh, you're not allergic to gluten because your skin test tells me you're not. And do you know that's exactly what happened to me? I went in for skin tests and I was not allergic to anything. It also told me I wasn't allergic to the mold that I had another allergy doctor in Yakima tell me that I was allergic to the mold in the Yakima Valley. And this other doctor in Seattle says, oh, no, you're not allergic to that.
So you can really get conflicting ideas if you rely just strictly on what the doctors are saying. Anyway, it says that when IgE, which is the immune protein or an antibiotic, is present, histamines are released from the cells, and the result may be itching, hives, respiratory symptoms, such as wheezing or shortness of breath, a tightening of the throat, a hoarseness, watery eyes, runny nose. Anyway, do any of these sound familiar to any of you? You might have an abdominal pain or discomfort, a swelling around the eyes, the mouth, the tongue, cramping, nausea, diarrhea. This sounds horrible, you guys. These are all symptoms of having an allergy to food. It says the most common food allergies are to peanuts and other tree nuts, shellfish, milk, eggs, soy products, and wheat. Food intolerance is something a little different, where you might be sensitive, and it may involve the immune system, but it doesn't involve the IgE histamine system, and that way you will not react as dramatically as you do with a food allergy. Anyway, it talks about the difference between these two things, and I'm not going to go into a lot of that, but just know that some people are sensitive to food, certain foods, and some actually have an allergy to them. Food intolerances may also involve missing enzymes. For example, those who are lactose intolerant are missing an enzyme lactase, which helps break down and digest lactose, the type of sugar that's in milk. Now, you know, when Clyde and I were on a mission in Oklahoma, we met a little gal. Her name was LaDonna Martin. And she, her husband was so lactose intolerant that there was a very popular hamburger place in that area that not only did they serve hamburgers and other fast foods, but they also sold ice cream. And you know that LaDonna's husband could not go into that restaurant and eat even a hamburger. And don't ask me, I don't know why, but he could not go in there. Somehow there was some connection between all their other foods and the ice cream. Anyway, when we introduced lactoferrin to that family, Donna's husband was able to go in there and not only eat their fast food foods, he was also able to eat an ice cream cone. And they just went bonkers over lactoferrin. And they used that, I mean, LaDonna became known as the lactoferrin queen because everybody that she ever contacted would know about the value of lactoferrin. Anyway, so that is one Neekin product that we ought to incorporate into our diet so that if we are sensitive to some of these things, it can help our body to adjust. Symptoms of food intolerance are not as immediate as food allergies. And so you need to realize that you may be food intolerant, but you may not have a full-blown allergy. So, with that, food sensitivity or intolerance is slower to develop, and it may be controlled by an IGAI. I don't understand all these things, but anyway, it's some kind of a response. And I will tell you again, if you want all these detailed things, just let me know, and I'll email it to you. Donna?
Okay, Dr. Russell Blaylock said the majority of people reacting to food is 30% of Americans. More subtle and often unassociated symptoms can occur. These can include joint pain, fatigue, cloud of thinking, psychiatric illnesses, and even severe neurological disorders. These symptoms, which the sufferer usually never even connects with the food they're eating, are called food intolerances. Problems with intolerances and even with allergies can be difficult to identify with. Just because you can eat a certain food without having to call emergency services doesn't mean it isn't going to cause you serious harm.
Yes, and you know, as I read this and went over this information, I realized this is one reason why journaling is so vital to us. There are a number of theories as to why food intolerance or sensitivities are in the rise. And this is in this article we read, this is what it said, genetics and family history. Your unique genetic background may determine what food sensitivities or allergies, if any, you may develop. For example, a child with a 7 times greater risk of having peanut allergy if their parent or sibling has an allergy to peanuts. Now, I want to ask the question, if it is true that it is genetics or family history, why the rise now? Those same genetics and family history existed years ago. So, that's a question I want to put out to all of you, and I want you to think about it. The hygiene, I don't know how to say these words, as humans, it's the hygiene, HYPOTHESIS. Is that one that you talked about, Ruth?
Any of hypotheses.
Okay, thank you. As humans, we have co-evolved with our gut bacteria, while for many people, it's an EW www movement to think about. These gut bacteria are incredibly important to our health. For one thing, they are absolutely essential for helping the immune system react appropriately and to absorb food properly. Where do these bacteria originally come from? They come from our environment. And when we are ultra careful about germs, our children may not be exposed to the right bacteria at the right time. Now, isn't that interesting? There is evidence, for example, that children raised on rural farms have a decreased risk of allergy disorders, including eczema, asthma, hay fever. Now, you think about how we run around using these hand sanitizers. They just scare me. We know that they have a lot of bad stuff in them. But they also do not allow our body to be exposed to some of the germs that we need to be exposed to. Neken has digestion, and I know from experience that that does help my gut. And, you know, for a number of years, I never did believe that I needed that digestion because I thought, oh, well, I just do fine. But, you know, that's one of the things I've added in to my routine lately, and I am seeing slight changes in how my body is reacting. And so we need to have that bacteria in the gut. Now, is there anyone on this call that's had any experiences with digestion? We would like to hear about it if you have.
Kathleen Miller.
Yes.
I have, I was, I don't know, after my mother nursed me for 9 months, and when she weaned me, I couldn't be put on a formula. It didn't work, and they tried soy formula, and it didn't work. And I've proved out that soy doesn't work, and milk makes me break out. And so that's kind of the start of it. And now I just, I'm gluten, dairy, soy, corn-free. Vinegar doesn't like me, or my body doesn't like vinegar or sugar. And I just can't break down my food. And I take the digestive thing. I just bought a new bottle of probiotics yesterday, thinking, well, maybe I forgot to take those for a while. But I'm just seem to be affected by so much now. I have a higher stress level, but I think my Neken wellness home has saved me from a lot. You
it's
know,
really,
there's
it's really
way, my inhalers. I was able to drop those. I have asthma, and I was going to the hospital on emergency three or four times. The fourth time I was able to stop the attack, I was just lying in bed and I started having an attack. And I reached over on my nightstand and pulled off a big magnet and put it on my chest and just tried to breathe deep and relax. And I went to sleep instead of having it go into a full-blown upset and trip to the hospital. But
wow.
I started using the mag steps and sleeping on the mattress before they had the comforter or anything, just the first little thin mattress. And after about 4 months, I didn't seem to have to take these two inhalers four times a day.
Oh,
and I had it checked out by the pulmonologist, and he said, you're right, you don't need them anymore. So that's been just tremendously good. But I still have more and more food sensitivities that I would like to learn a lot more and get around.
Well, that digestion, I think, is a real big key. And I think lactoferrin. I think those two are really critical for us to understand how it can help our body to adjust to all the onslaught that it's been going through. Now, you know, you talked about how your mother nursed you up till 9 months of age. They have talked in this article about early introduction of solid foods or of formula feeding have actually increased allergies. They say the jury's still out on all of this for more in-depth evidence. But I know from personal experience that our daughter, Charlene, she was our first daughter and our first child, and because of doctors, I introduced her to solids at 3 weeks of at 3 weeks old. And in her earlier years, she dealt with asthma. She has now outgrown it, and I'm really grateful that she's not going through what you've been going through, Joan, but I'm convinced that it was because of this early introduction to solids that she brought on these problems. Now, it's more likely that at an early introduction, formula feeding combined with a family history and an imbalance in the gut bacteria populations all share a role in the development of both food allergies and food sensitivities. If you are dealing with gluten sensitivity, you know the general approach to dealing with food sensitivity is by the process of elimination. Often people with gluten sensitivities have other food intolerances and allergies. And the more you can eliminate these things that you're sensitive to, the better you are and the better your health will be. And it's just, you know, it's a long process, but it's one that we need to stick to. Stick with whole, unprocessed foods, organic foods as much as possible. This will limit your exposure to pesticides. Now, we also know that there are many household allergens, and that's why we love our Neken air filtration system. That really helps us. In the article it said that furnace or air conditioning filters can minimize the dust and animal dander, but I'm convinced that you also have to add in the Neken air filtration. And then it said take a quality probiotic every day or eat 1 to 2 servings of yogurt with active cultures every day using non-synthetic building materials and furnishings. I'm reading this wrong. Use non-synthetic building materials and furnishings that can help also. You know, our daughter, Cynthia, I think I told this on the call last Thursday night, but our daughter, Cynthia, she is sensitive to everything. And Clyde went and made he put a finish on a wood thing, and he left it outside for a day and a night, and the next morning he brought it into the house. It was in the kitchen. And our daughter was here visiting us, and she was in the living room, and she said, "What do you have in your house?" And she started getting all red, and she was reacting to something. Well, immediately we knew what it was. So Clyde went and took our air filtration system, and he put it in the doorway between the kitchen and our living room. And do you know that Cynthia just cleared up and was fine within just a few minutes? So if you don't think that air filtration system isn't valuable, it really is. It helps us to be able to withstand all the things that are in our homes. Donna?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have Neken air purifiers in every room of our home. And I even have one in the van. The one in the van that we have is not a Neken travel air purifier. It's a full-size one.
I want to ask you, Donna, how do you do that? When I heard you say that, I meant to ask you, how do you put a regular big air filtration system in your car?
Well, if you have a cigarette lighter in your van or car, you can go to Radio Shack and get an adapter. Well, that's what I did, and then I went to go plug it in. Then I realized in our van, we have an auxiliary switch we just press, and we have a regular plug-in in the back of our van. So it's like a regular plug-in. You plug it in.
Oh, I'm glad I asked you. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay. And many people don't realize it, but when you use your computer printer, it emits small amounts of ozone as well as fumes from the ink, which these are toxins. And that's why it is so important for everyone to use an Eaton air purifier, in their, especially in the office. I use one in my office room at home, and many people, you know, we're exposed to many allergens and toxins every day, and we really don't realize it unless we're aware of it. And the thing is, so this is amazing, we change our furnace filters every 6 months, and since we use so many of the Nikon air purifiers in our home, it's amazing to see how the furnace filter is not as dirty as it used to be before you used air purifiers. And actually, we have 7 Nikon air purifiers in the house. But I have to say, our overall health has improved, and we hardly ever get sick. I mean, I might get sick twice a year, and that's it. It's really, you can clean a room, and the dust doesn't bother me, because before when I'd clean the house, I'd have an asthma attack within an hour because of the dust. Now I don't have that. Now I'm going to talk about genetically modified foods. This information comes from healthychild.org, and this article is written by Robin O'Brien, and she's the founder of Allergy Kids. Our intimate relationship with food is a complex truth. A famous French political thinker once said that the public world, that the public would rather believe a simple lie than a complex truth. The truth behind genetic engineering is extremely complex. It has for decades, but it is only in the last 10 years that neurotoxins have been engineered into our food supply. No one has studied the long-term health implications of children consuming food containing neurotoxins, novel proteins, and allergens. It's not just children who consume these, it's adults too. We all do. So to look back over the last 10 years, you quickly remember that 10 years ago, we didn't have to worry about sending a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to school with our children. We didn't have to medicate our 8-year-olds to get them through the school day, and your computer, and the movie Rain Man was all we knew of autism. Today, at least 1 out of every 17 children under the age of 3 has a food allergy, and with at least 5 million American children suffering from this condition. And these were statistics are from 2002, and these, you know, they're old, but this data. Autism, diabetes, and obesity are often referred to as American epidemics. So what has changed? In 1996, the United States adopted widespread use of genetically modified crops due to growing public concern over the health risks associated with industrial spraying of insecticides and pesticides. To me, this is amazing because, you know, a lot of people do not want them to use the pesticides and insecticides. Now what they've done, well, it's just unbelievable. They have put it inside the plant. So in an effort to reduce the spraying of these toxins, scientists began using technology to engineer these pesticides and insecticides into the plants themselves. I had to repeat that twice, because that just, if used right, still get the pesticides. As these ingredients were introduced around the world 10 years ago, government agencies in Europe, Asia, Australia, Japan, Russia, and 45 developed countries required to be listed on food labels so that consumers can make informed choices when it came to feeding your children. In the United States, our regulatory agencies do not require these genetically engineered ingredients to be labeled. So unlike other developed countries, we have not been informed that almost 70% of our corn, 90% of our soy, and 75% of our processed food now contain neurotoxins, novel proteins, and allergens. Now, I looked up novel proteins, but I couldn't find the proper definition or other is an engineered protein genetically. And today, one out of every three children suffers from allergies, asthma, autism, or ADHD. It is that we have unknowingly and without informed consent engaged our children in one of the largest human trials in history. But this is just, I don't know, just amazes me. And then 10 years into this human trial, trying to tell us something, and shouldn't we listen? There's been a lot of reports in the media that there's been a large rise in the number of allergy-related health problems over the past decade. Some reports claim that there has been a 265% increase in the number of hospitalizations due to allergy-related problems in the U.S. over the past decade. Others say that certain allergies, such as peanut allergies, have doubled or tripled in recent years. I am sure that all... Oh, boy.
Excuse me, my time's getting about up.
Okay.
It is way past up. And, but this is really a very scary thing, and we probably should cover it in... Well, we have covered a little bit, but it is something that we really need to let people know, so I really appreciate that.
Okay.
The GMO, and it's also political. It's quite political, and so people should not be burying their heads about things that are political, but really become aware. I want to announce that on Thursday night, we will not be holding a WebEx, which we are trying to do them every Thursday, but we're not doing one Thursday night because there is a political debate with the vice presidential debate, and it makes a huge difference on which way you go in this election, whether we're going to continue having things like this that are destroying us, and I feel like that this is a part of it. So be sure and listen to the debate. You probably won't hear anything about genetically modified foods, but that is being pushed by the UN if you want to keep America as America, you better listen to the debates. So I don't think that fits quite in here, but here it is.
Yes, it does fit in, Ruth. We all need to be aware of what's going on in our country because that will affect us personally in our personal lives. We want to thank all of you for being on the call, and we hope that... now, if any of you need any of this information, just email me and I'll send it to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen and Donna.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate everybody.
Hi, Steve. Thank you.
How you doing, Ruth? Hey, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Have a great day.